It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. We got another fun show in store for you today. We've been seeing the discourse on social media, mainly Twitter, X, about a certain player who plays for the Spokane Chiefs, who a lot of people say, they question you guys about not wanting him on your wish list. So we're going to get to him in just a few moments. As always, Rocco, you got Rocco's Riser of the Week. We got our Prospect of the Week and our Habs Prospect of the Week coming up. Let's get to it.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Recruits Draftcast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
Producer Shane here, reporting for duty, joined by my fantastic co-host, Grant McCagg, Rocco Zappia. Gentlemen, how are we today?
Great. How you doing?
Can't complain. Can't complain. I'm hearing the birds outside. Sun is shining. The snow's melting. I'm happy. I'm loving this weather. Springtime is always my favorite. So, It smells like playoffs too. You know, playoffs are creeping in. The best time of the year, man. I love it. Can't complain.
whenever it's light out at 7 o'clock, I think playoff hockey. That's why this time change that they changed it. Yeah. Used to be like around April 1st, if I'm not mistaken, and they moved it up in recent years, where it's a little sooner now that the time changes. Mm-hmm. But I always used to equate it with, it's hockey games are starting in the daylight, playoff time, baby.
Well, it's almost my favorite time of the year where I get to keep my hockey bag and my golf bag in the car.
Yes. So
you never know. You could be doing both in the same day. You get about a month of crossover, unless you play in a summer league, but I don't care. No. So,
why do my golf clubs smell like hockey sweat? Yeah. That's always good.
My golf clubs stink, but not as bad as my golf game does. So that's fine.
Oh, okay. I think we all struggle with the short game. It's all good. Stuff to work on in the summer. But gentlemen, there's been a lot of traction, a lot of discussion regarding one of our latest episodes where you both came up with your wish lists. Grant, you had your wish list for the Habs, and Rocco, you had your wish list for the Sens in regards to this year's draft. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter and all that saying that Berkeley Catton is their choice, right? I mean, you look at the stats, it's understandable. 50 goals, 57 assists in 63 games for 107 points. That's always enticing, right? But you both omitted him from your wish list. So let's talk about it a little. Grant, I know you want to kick us off. So let's get to it.
No, we're going to let Rocco. Let Rocco start.
Let's do it. Yeah,
You missed the meeting 2 minutes before, didn't you? You were tuned out again, as usual, Shane.
right.
What I tell you, Shane, just set me up to get railroaded. That's fine. That's okay. No, and like I don't want to sound like I don't like Berkeley Catton, because I do. I like him. He's a real nice player, real good prospect. He brings a ton of skill, ton of high end offense. His vision's great. His edges are great. He creates. He's dangerous both ways. He can shoot it too. I mean, I do get the admiration for his game, but there's probably to me 12 12 guys, I think, who have legitimate stake to claim a top 10 spot in this year's draft, and two of them aren't going to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
For me, where the separation comes, there's a couple things, and part of it is, admittedly, so for me, my biggest, like, what I think probably my biggest scouting bias is against size. I don't care generally for smaller players, and that's something that I'll admit. I know that's an area that I overlook, and the times when I'm really wrong on a guy, it's often someone very small that I didn't give enough credit to, and I don't want to do that with him. But at the same time, like, let's just see in June what kind of makeup the teams have that are left. And do you want, and everyone's going to say, oh yeah, Sidney Crosby's 5'10", Connor Bedard's 5'10". That's fine. He's not Sidney Crosby, and he's not Connor Bedard. There's a certain skill level where it doesn't matter how big you are. You're just the best. And that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And he's not like he's a very good player, but he's not that level. So the size matters a little bit. Do I want to be small down the middle? If I'm building a team, if I'm investing a really high draft pick on a kid, do I want to make my team small down the middle? Because if you're picking a top 10 pick on a kid, you need him to be in your top two lines, or you need him to be on your top two pairs at worst, ideally your first line or your first pair. So is that the makeup of the team that you want? And that's when I'm sitting myself thinking, okay, well, you've got these six defensemen who are all extremely good, all over 6 feet or better. And the guys who are 6 feet is maybe the most talented one. And you've got Lindstrom, you've got Demidov, who might be the best offensive player in the draft. You've got Celebrini. Okay, so that's nine. You got Aginla's right in that mix. He's doing it night in, night out. You've got the Yzerman kid, who, you know, a lot of people still think is a top 10 pick, who might be the best pure goal scorer in the draft. So where does Katten rank? It's not an indictment on Katten. There's really good players in this draft. And if I'm building my team, you know, when everyone says take the best player available, and that's fine, but we need to appreciate how close in ability these guys are, and how little there is to discern them, especially when they're playing in different leagues, right? It's hard. There's not a top 10 that I can think of where the top 10 picks made ended up being the same top 10 players in order 10 years down the line, right? So there's nuance to it, and it's a little more complicated than pick the best player available. So Katten plays like a center. He's got tremendous skill, but do I want to build a team that is small down the middle? And for me personally, I don't, when there are positions that are maybe harder to fill or harder to find that are available for guys that just maybe philosophically suit what you want to do a little better. Now, that said, is it going to shock me if you hear Berkeley Katten go number six or seven or whatever over? No, I'm not going to be shocked, and I'm not going to think whatever team did it is dumb. It's just, it wouldn't be my preference. When you have 12 guys who are worthy of being top 10 picks, two of them can't be. And for me, that's just where it is. But again, I do have a bit of a size bias, and maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe he'll be one of the top five best players. He has the skill to do it, but I want a big team. I want a team that's big down the middle and big on D. And if we're going to have a little bit of small skill, I'd like it to be on the wing. And maybe that's what happens. Who knows? But there's just guys that suit what I personally would want to build around a little bit better.
Grant, did you want to chime in?
Geez, that's not what you told me before the podcast there. I think you hey. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I think you when I told you that I pulled a few NHL scouts, I think you probably figured out which way they lean.
I haven't had him in the top 10. Okay, 10 at all. Turn. He's right on the fringe there for me. You know what I mean? So it's not like
my turn.
Yeah. can't call me out, then I'll let me explain myself.
I'm just kidding, buddy. No, yeah, exactly. He's on the cusp of the top 10. I mean, you can make that argument, sure, but there's 11 or 10 excellent prospects for this draft that both of us just happen to like a little more. We've got similar, I think we've got a similar top 10 or 11, and you know, you have to go with it. If we're in agreement, we're certainly not going to change it up because people on Twitter are saying, you know, it should be different, right? And especially when you get confirmation from NHL scouts. I pulled five scouts today, And every one of them, I asked them, is Catton in your top 10? And they all said no. So, I mean, that goes along with what we're saying, right? None of them said that he's a poor prospect. That, you know, the biggest criticism is just scared about his size. At 5'10", 170, he's slight. He's not only undersized height-wise, but he's slight. He doesn't go to the in the traffic with zeal, in part because of his size, right? Riley Height last year scored 97 points, basically the same size as Catton. He went in the 60s at the draft, and he's got 107 points this year, very similar. You're not drafting guys to try to win a Memorial Cup championship. You're not drafting to have the best junior team. If you were, Catton would go top three, maybe, you know. But, you know, you're trying to draft a team that's going to help you win in the NHL playoffs. That bottom line. How many teams – I think you got an idea of what the Canadian – when Hughes took over, what were the first two major acquisitions for the top six? 6'4", Juraj Slafkovský, drafted first overall. 6'4", Kirby Doc, right? That tells you that the direction that they think that they needed size, need size in the top. Okay, so there's two of them, right? If you've got Joshua, Berkeley Catton, Cole Caulfield,
New Hook.
So you've got Caulfield, you've got Suzuki, Catton, right? Four and Wah. All are under the NHL average size. Mm-hmm. The average size of an NHL player is 6'1", 200 plus pounds. They are all under 6 feet, actually. You could argue, well, Suzuki, yeah, you see the height measurements. Both Suzuki and Wah are 5'11 and a half at best.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Even if you say they're 6 feet, it's still smaller than the average NHL size. So that's four undersized forwards in your top six. You'd be hard pressed to find, you know, you'll find the rare exception if you go back, but top eight playoff teams through the years, if you want to go back and study, there's very, very, very few that have four guys under the average size NHL. Like you looked at Florida last year, you know, Barkov, Kachuk, you know, you go on and on.
Bennett.
There weren't four guys undersized. There were four guys bigger than the average. Vegas, same deal. You know, Stone, Eichel, you know, you name these guys. There's not four guys under the average size. It's the opposite. So ideally, you're looking in the top 10. You're trying to find guys that are going to play in your top six. They're going to help you win at playoff time. Montreal already has three guys that, you know, it looks like are going to be in their top six. And the other guy that is potentially down the road is Meshar. Well, he's 5'10". Another, you know, it just doesn't make sense to add yet another 5'10 guy to that you hope is going to help you win a Stanley Cup. for your top six. As much as I like Catton, as skilled as he is, as great as a junior player he is, you're not drafting a Memorial Cup team. You're drafting a Stanley Cup team is what the goal is. And for that, for those reasons, that's why I didn't have him on the wish list of the Canadians. Now, if they decide, well, we're not taking another defenseman, and Iginla's gone, and it's their pick, and, you know, well, we're going to take the top forward on our list, and it's Catton. Okay, I guess I get it, but I'd be surprised. I really would, given what we've seen so far from the Canadians with acquiring Doc and Slafkovský, as I think that they want another – they would like another good-sized forward if they go that route, unless it's, you know – unless they end up with the first overall pick and it's Macklin Celebrini. And again, you're talking about a special player. As good a junior as Catton is, Celebrini's a tier above him. So, yeah. And the same goes with Demidov, who is also a lot thicker, stronger kid and at least an inch taller than Catton. So, I mean, Central's list is the one you go by for height, size, and he's 5'10". That's what he is. He's not 5'11". You'll probably even see some places that list him at 6 feet or whatever. Probably in the WHL, you always see, oh, yeah, he's 6 foot. No, he's 5'10", 170 pounds. I heard some comparisons to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Now, a 5'10 version of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You know, Nugent-Hopkins, 6 foot and slight, and there's some similarities to their game. So if he turns out to be a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins 5'10 version, that's pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
But Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, you know, at the end of the day, he's on the wing, right? He's playing beside McDavid. Yeah, he's putting up good points, and I'm sure if Catton or anybody played with McDavid, they put up good points too. But so he's a good prospect. I mean, but in this draft, do you want to, you know, there's 6'3 defensemen that are putting up crazy good points, that are good skaters, that are big, that, you know, they're more valuable in the top 10 than a 5'10 center who may or may not play as a top two center in the NHL. I think a lot of NHL guys feel that if he's going to play in your top six, it's likely going to be on the wing. So there are more valuable assets to select in the top 10, and certainly in the top eight, where both Ottawa and Montreal are at this point.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like it, you know, that's the right fit for either team in the top eight. And that's no slight on Berkeley Catton. Again, we love the top 11, and he's one of those top 11.
Yeah.
He just happens to be number 11. So, you know, I think that's is best that we can explain why he wasn't on our wish list. Not that, you know, he'd be a poor choice for any team after the top six in the draft, I don't think.
No, that's it. And like Rocco mentioned, right, it's also a testament to how deep this draft class is. And if there were no Caden Lindstrom, no Ivan Demidov, no Zane Parekh, all that, you'd see Berkeley maybe in the top five, right? Talent-wise, he's proved it. But this draft class is just so deep that you can get a guy who's putting up 107 points in 63 games outside of the top 10, right? How, like, that's very impressive.
Well, I believe I mentioned that too, Shane, but sure. Give the
Rocco said it first.
Give the water for the Rocco.
Yeah, you tried to set him up, so I'll give him a bone. Fair. But that's it. I mean, I remember seeing Berkeley Catton at the Linka Gretzky, right? And he put up a goal every single game. He was the captain of that team, led them to the gold, right? Just, he's a fantastic player. Like, anybody who goes in the comments here and says that, oh, we're shitting on him, we think he sucks. No, not at all. not at all, right? Like you said, if Catton was 6'1", more physical, we're looking at a top five easy pick here, right? Those little traits can make a huge difference come playoff time, to win. And that's what you want, right? When you're drafting, Grant, you mentioned this, right? You did.
Oh, thank you.
you're drafting to win the cup, not the Memorial Cup, right? So I think that's a really, really good way of putting it. But again, we are Berkeley Catton lovers here, okay? Don't come at us. We do love his game. There's just so much talent in this draft that he could go out of the top 10. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cat on a hot tin roof, you know, really. Kind of cat in a hot tin roof. Anyway.
Okay. I don't know about that one.
We'll work on those. Oh boy.
Boomer humor, you young lads wouldn't. That was a very famous movie from the, I don't know, 60s. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Rocco, it's time for Rocco's Riser of the Week. You like to highlight Mr. Jet Luchenko.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, can you put the put the other one first. Actually, it doesn't really matter, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. That's great. So, Jet Luchenko, so number 7 for the Guelph Storm. So, this first video against Saginaw, this is the game that I was at. I spoke about it last week a little bit. So, I wanted to show a couple of his highlights from this game because I thought he played quite well. So, speaking of small guys, he's a 5'10", 165-pound center, but we're debating him on the first round, not inside the top 10. So it makes a little more sense. But we're going to give the small guys a little credit because he is quite a player. He's got 20 goals and 65 points and 61 games played this year on a team that's not the strongest. He carries a good chunk of the weight there in Guelph. They're not having the best season. Jet is an absolutely perfect name for him. He says, "Don't call me Benny," but he is a Jet, as you can see there through the video. His speed is his greatest asset for sure. And it's not just straight line speed. He's got the whole package with his feet. The top end speed, the quickness, the agility, his change of pace, they're all really, really, really high end. He's amongst the most explosive and amongst the more exciting skaters to watch in this draft. He really is a treat when he gets going. You can see him he just burns by guys on a regular basis. He gets good players flat-footed, and that says something. Really deceptive. He can turn it on in an instant where he'll be almost standing still, and in two strides he's in full speed and you don't know where he went. So there's a lot to like about that, because that's a very, very, very useful tool to have the way the game's played today. Aside from the skating, he is quite a good playmaker. 45 assists on the year, so he is more of a playmaker than a goal scorer. Although he can shoot the puck decent. I don't think it's not like he has a weak shot or anything. There's a nice assist he had there. He did a nice job looking off that guy to open the lane, and you know, no one saw the back door except him. So that's nice. That's a play that would translate well to an NHL power play. You see that kind of play all the time. So I think he's got the puck skills and the playmaking where he can bring some offensive ability to the next level, and not just be a speedster specialist. Weaknesses, obviously, size is kind of the biggest one, and you can roll the London video as well next while I'm going on here. The size is obviously the biggest concern at 5'10", 165. He's both short and thin. So, you know, unlikely that the height's going to change, but the other one will have to. He is going to need to beef up and fill out significantly if he hopes to have, you know, if he hopes to have a long career and being able to sustain the rigors of the day in, day out that come with pro hockey. It's a physical game, and at 165 pounds, I don't much like your chances to play a really, really long time without getting hurt. So the other thing with him is I don't know that he's a center and junior. I don't know that he plays center at the next level, and it goes back to what we were saying previously. I really do like him as a winger at the next level. Not sure that I would draft him with the intent of having him down the middle, but there's been small quick centers before him, so maybe he will. In terms of upside, I do see some top six top six upside here. I think that he's a guy that could probably play with guys who are better than him because he has the speed and the playmaking to keep up with more elite players at the next level. He should be able to fit in. And even if he's not the guy that can carry the offensive load, might be a really nice plug and play piece where he can play on any of your lines almost and kind of fit in. Because he does bring a lot of effort and a consistent effort, which is good. And despite his size, he's not scared out there. He's not soft. I mean, he's not going to go blow bodies up, but he's definitely not soft. He'll go dig. He'll take a hit to make a play. He'll go in the dirty areas. So I'm not really worried about that. So that gives him a little versatility and it gives him a nice floor because you have the effort level with the speed. At worst, you're going to turn into a really good bottom six that has some dangerous ability as a penalty killer on the second power play unit. So I do like his floor in the sense of being able to develop into a pretty consistent everyday player. And again, there is some upside there because I do think he has some nice puck skills to go along with the speed. So I could see him developing into a pretty decent second line player as well. In terms of where I project him, I like him anywhere outside the top 20, really. I do think he is a first rounder for me, despite the size. So I must really like him because, I mean, I admitted earlier, I tend to judge guys a little bit if they're too small. So I could see him going towards the last third of the first round. I'd be surprised if he gets outside of the first, but if he does, you're getting a really, really good value pick early in the second. I've got a lot of time for this player. He brings some very projectable attributes. Like I said, really nice high floor with the speed and the effort level. And he's got a good heart there, I think, too. So I've got all the time in the world for a guy like that, and you find a role for him.
If you were to be told that he's 5'11", 180, might you consider that he's a top 20 guy?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
I think he has the ability. I think he has the skills and the ability to be in that top 20. But at 5'10" is tough. 165 is even tougher. Yeah. So there's some hesitancy there. But again, these are the guys that I'm typically undervaluing a little bit. So it's possible that that's the case again.
Well, Central Scouting midterm rankings, whenever you go to do a prospect or whatever, have a look at that, because that's your guy. That's the gospel, right?
And they've got him at 180.
5'11", 180. And he's grown during the season, actually. And he's immature. The guys seem to think that he might end up actually being 6 foot. They think that maybe the growth plates aren't closed on him yet and he's still maturing. Because, I mean, he's already grown an inch, right?
In season, yeah.
He's literally rising.
So, literally rising. There you go. So I do have him top 20. We've got him at 18 right now. And in part, it's because of that growth spurt that he did. But I guess maybe I neglected to tell you that, Rocco.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. And that's one of those things, too, that I think, like a full-time team scout, you're going to have an opportunity. Like, you're going to have a little more knowledge. Like, how big are the parents? Yeah. Like, how old was the kid when he hit puberty sort of thing? Does he have a grizzly face or a baby face still? So you kind of, and that's things that you get more into the details when you're really digging into players. Yeah. But you know, hey, at 6 foot, you know, at six, if he ends up 6 foot, 185 pounds, then somewhere in the 15 to 20 range makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
For me, because I'm just worried, you know, the worry is breaking down, I think, a little bit, because he does play hard. So if you're small and you play hard, you can be prone to injury. But I mean, if he's a late bloomer, still growing, that sort of thing, that's something that would definitely make me take a second look at that, at exactly where I have him. I mean, I have him early 20s for myself personally, but that would make a difference if he's growing in season still, certainly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he does grow another inch and he's 180 right now, like, he might be 6 foot 195, which, you know, the NHL level.
I get it. I didn't stop growing personally. I was 21. Like, I graduated high school. I was 17. I was 5'9", and I topped out at over 6 feet. So it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, well, and I mean, as far as that, he's, from what I've been told from some guys that are OHL scouts that have seen him fairly often. They really like his defensive game. And because he's now 5'11", 180, and they think that he's going to, you know, even grow maybe a little more, I think most of them...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Wouldn't be surprised if he stayed at center because of his defensive, his attention to defensive detail that they think. So we'll see. I mean,
and again, at 185, that makes a big difference in the equation too.
Yeah. And he's such a good skater too. Like, it's not like it, pace is such an important part of playing center. You know, if you're going to be playing against other teams' top three centers, you got to be able to handle the pace. And there's no question with that, with Luchenko, or his competitiveness, and his defensive hockey sense is good too. So
yeah,
he might be a guy. I think NHL guys, at least, if you were to ask them who they think stands a better chance of playing center at the NHL level, I think most of them would maybe give the edge to Luchenko over Katten at the end of the day. He's a little bigger. He's faster. A little more competitive. Goes to the, you know, especially defensively. So, but yeah, I like that. Those great descriptions of him. And I just want to add those, you know, that he's a little bigger than Rocco was aware of. And for that reason, more than anything, you know, he might even be, which would boost him into the top 20, maybe even on Rocco's list, right? When I mentioned that to you, so
yeah,
I right, think you know,
right around
15 to 25, I think is a good slot for him, right?
Yep.
And we'll see in the playoffs, and it's the same thing. And I didn't get to mention with Katten, but Spokane's probably going to end up eighth seed in the West, and they'll play either, you know, they'll play one of the top two teams, Portland and. I can't think of who the other top seed is, but if they, you know, if he has a spectacular playoff and they pull an upset in the first round, you know, that's going to raise his draft stock, but they'll likely lose and he'll likely go to the under 18s, which I almost prefer because then you're up against a lot of your peers. It's peer on peer, right? And again, if he has a really good first round, but they lose in the playoffs, which is probably what will happen, goes to the U18s and scores a goal a game again, like he did in Hlinka in the summer, and you know, captain, I'm sure he'd be the captain of the team again, and leads him to a gold medal, and is the best player. You know, maybe it's hard to pass on him in the top 10 at that point too, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not closing the book on him being a top 10 guy yet, that's for sure. So
it's only March. Yeah.
And even if he doesn't get drafted top 10, that's not to say that he might not be one of the 10 best players.
Oh, like, no.
What did Barzal go? 15, 16, 7, like something in the mid first round, right?
Kyle Connor. That 2015 draft was just.
Connor's different. He's a.
He's talking about size, similar size guy, I think. Yeah.
Barzal was a small guy, but that's part and parcel. One of the reasons why he fell, I mean, they had doubts about his goal scoring, which that's a different conversation, but he was not the biggest guy, right? And he fell to the mid round, but. Again, like, look how it developed. He's a point-of-game centerman. So, you know, that's not to say that Katten can't take that same path, even if he doesn't go in the top 10, which he still may.
Right.
Yeah.
I think where, I mean, there were guys that had, that I knew that had Barzal top 10 in his draft year. And he's one of those guys that, you know, just all it takes is one team, right? To have like one guy a little more, and he ended up dropping a bit. Boston, obviously, like three guys a little more. He dropped, you know, I think they dropped the ball on that one. Thank goodness. but Barzal, a different level skater than, yeah, than Catton.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which
I just meant a little bit of an undersized guy.
No, for sure. But I mean, just where, you know, you could see him becoming a point per game guy at the NHL level, maybe a little more so. But it's funny now, even, you know, once he picked up Horvat, where's Barzal been playing? Mm. On the wing, right? He's a winger now too. Clayton Keller, another 5'10 guy that was just set records in junior with the under 18 team. He's a winger now because he couldn't handle the, you know, down low against the friggin' top two NHL centers. He just, he was better off moving to the wing. So
like what is a guy that big going to do against Anze Kopitar or Sasha Barkov? Like, what are you going to do against? Like,
right.
They're going to bully you for fun. So
yeah.
Like, how are you supposed to be a number one center if every number one center pushes you around?
Right. Yeah. Unless you're a freak like Sidney Crosby.
That's fine. Right? Unless you're that level where you're just better than everybody, Crosby, Bedard, whatever,
doesn't
matter. But when you're, you know, your equal skill level and 6 inches shorter, I'm sorry, it makes a difference.
Definitely.
That's it. All right, Grant, we're sending it over to you for prospect of the week. You'd like to highlight Mr. Yegor Surin. Let's have a look.
Yeah. We had him early on in the year, if you've been watching the podcast, as a Mahler of the Week. Our first mm-hmm. ever. And so we know that he can hit, right? But I mean, I did an article that I posted last week with 6 videos, you know, showing why I think this guy is the most underrated prospect in this draft class. And well, the MHL playoffs started. He's played 4 games and he has 10 points. In those 4 games. So he's only, you know, making me look like a genius from that story that I posted last week, right? But I figured at playoff time, look at this. And then check this out.
Ding. Oh, cheeky.
You know, yeah. No, he's just so competitive. And he's got the skill and the vision on top of it. I just, for me, you know, you talk about Catton or whatever. I'd honestly almost look at this guy with Montreal's pick. That's how much I like him.
Wow.
That's how much I like him. And certainly with the second first round pick, if Surin's on the board there, I think he's just a perfect addition to the Canadiens with his grit and skill level combination. I see him being an impactful top 9 forward and that could play in your top 2. He plays center and wing. I love this this highlight here. He's check out the face-off win here. Ving. Pretty nice. But he gets to pucks. He's one of the best forechecking prospects that I've ever scouted. And on top of that, he's grown in the last year. He was listed at 5'10 last year. He's now listed at 6'1. So there's been a growth spurt with this kid, but he's got really good edges and really quick. So skating is definitely above average. He's got a very good shot, really good playmaker, but his competitiveness to me is the best thing about him. So if this kid's playing in the OHL or whatever, I think he's top 15 in a lot of guys' draft lists, but hey, he's Russian and all we're seeing are the videos, right? So there's going to be questions, obviously. But I mean, Demidov's going to go top 5 despite that. So why do you, you know, if this kid's got everything that I say he's got, why do you penalize him any more than, you know, than you would Demidov? So, or Demidov, as they say in the Russian broadcast, I guess that's how it's pronounced. But he's off to the second round. They won the first, and I'll be interested to see once the competition gets a little harder, to see if the point totals drop off. But as I suspected, I thought he'd be a playoff performer. And I mean, the next guy, I think he's 2.5 points per game so far in the playoffs. And the next guy's like at about 1.5. So he's standing out just as I figured he would. And I look forward to seeing him in the next round. What we saw last year with Simashev and Butte was, and this was with NHL lists and independent lists, but especially NHL lists, after the season was finished and the scouts, you know, they're no longer going to games, they're looking at a lot of video. And one of the guys, and two of the guys, obviously, that they looked at a lot last year were Butte and Simashev. And they rose more than any other prospects did after the season ended. And I really think that, Surin, like, I think I'm the only, Recruits is the only list that has him as a top first round guy. And I now have him top 20. And, I mean, if he keeps doing what I've been seeing, I'm not going to hesitate to have him top 15. I think he's one of the best prospects in this draft class. And he's a sleeper of the week, prospect of the week, Mahler of the week.
The whole shebang.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's always enticing, right? When you got the whole package.
You look good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very skilled. But what I love is just the combo of his skill and his competitiveness. I sent some, like I say, I did that article last week, and I had 6 videos in it of him. So, I mean, I love the kid. But I don't know if you got a chance to look at it, Rocco, but just his hits highlights, go and have a look. And just every 2 out of every 3 guys that he hits, he knocks on their ass. Like, it just, this guy's, you know, Bobrov likes to use the term unicorn. Well, this is a Russian unicorn. Whatever. I don't know how you translate that. I'm going to look up unicorn in Russian, and that's what I'm going to start describing them as.
Oh boy! So,
yeah. I find with the Russians, I find there's almost like there's not that many neutral Russians. You either really want them on your team, or you really don't. Like,
yeah,
you know, they're either Darius Kasparaitis or Alex Semin. Like, they're one. Yeah. They're one or the other, right? And if this guy looks like he's got, because like some of them are like really, really just mean and physical and strong and you know big Russian, like the stereotypical cartoon big Russian ox, you know, like, you know, I always see Nichushkin. I love Nichushkin, but there's an example of one, right? Big, strong, like you want that guy on your team, and but they can go the other way and become, you know, soft as baby.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah,
but this, no, that's good. If you've got that competitiveness and that edge to you, which I think some of them do, you got to be like Canadian. You got to be a certain level of crazy to live in that level of cold. You know what I mean? So those are the ones that you want. I mean, and if he's like that, I take that kind of thing on my team any day.
Yeah, well, he's the most competitive player I think in his draft class, and I don't think you often see that in a Russian. You know. Typically, when they are very competitive, they're big, like Nikushkin, or, you know, this kid's like, he's 6'1", but he's not huge, right? But he plays like he's 6'4", and just steamrolls people. And he's a very rare Russian prospect, as far as I'm concerned. And I think, you know, the guys that do their homework are going to look at his competitiveness and get his background. But he wore a C at the under-18s for Russia.
That's big.
That's big. Leadership.
So they love his character. You know, he's the first line center on the U18 team. They played the U20 team and beat them in a recent tournament. And he was hard on Chernyshov, who is supposed to be the second best forward prospect. I like this kid more than Chernyshov. Wow. Way more competitive, way more consistent, meaner, faster. Just, I think you're going to see him rising on draft lists as time goes along here.
Right on. So Yegor Surin, not the first time we talk about him, won't be the last either. Great stuff there from Grant. Rocco, we know you got to get going here, but thank you for your time as always and your insights. We'll see you next week, my friend. Take care.
Right on. Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
All right. It's time for our Habs prospect of the week. This week, we are highlighting a defenseman that will give even more headaches to Kent Hughes when it comes time to decide who the future is. That being Adam Engström over in Sweden. So let's have a look.
Look at this very first. Look at this clearing pass. Like, looks like a simple clearing pass, but I mean, still perfectly executed. Good. Brad Gushue would be envious of that, of the weight that he had on that. You know, he didn't even need the sweepers for that to put the puck right in the button, you know, to avoid the icing call. I thought that was, you know, it was a little thing, but I thought it was really cool. Again, you know, reversing the puck smartly. He doesn't make that many mistakes back there. He's pretty poised for a 20-year-old kid playing in the SHL, 18 minutes a game. Pretty impressive, but the first few highlights here are from his last regular season game, which was just yesterday or 2 days ago. They shut out Modo to clinch a playoff berth. Now, Rogla went 3-1 in their final four games to jump from 12th place to 10th, grabbing the final playoff berth for and they're starting off today in the playoffs. So in those four games that they went 3-1, the club only gave up four goals. And Engström was on the ice for just one goal against while contributing a point in every game, including a game-winning goal and a game-winning assist. His numbers weren't earth-shattering this season. I mean, 22 points in 51 games isn't fantastic, but when you consider that he's a 20-year-old defenseman, you know, playing in the SHL, he was sixth on the club in scoring and just 8 points behind the team leader. So obviously Rogla is not a high scoring team if their top scoring player had 30 points in 52 games. So, you know, so when you look at it in that, you know, in that aspect, it becomes a lot more impressive that he even had that many points, you know. I like him he plays regularly on their power play and he's really smooth. Like he has good vision and agility. He makes sure that his passes are well protected and they can't be intercepted. Like he just, you know that the puck isn't going to, I mean, that's important, right? You're making the cross pass and if it gets intercepted, it's a breakaway going the other way. And the worst thing you want is a shorthanded goal against, but 2 or 3 years from now, there's not going to be a lack of point options for the Canadians on the power play. When you think about it, you know, like, They're going to have, obviously, Hudson, Reinbacher. Pardon me?
Mayu.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Jack Eyes has showed that he can play on the power play. Yeah. Gooley down the road might even be able to play some on the power play. Like, I wouldn't be, you know, teams getting away from having two defensemen on the power play, but down the road, I wouldn't be surprised, especially if Montreal's leading the game and they get a power play. You're going to see the Canadians putting two defensemen out there, you know, because you want to guard against the shorthanded goal against if you've got a lead, right? Yeah. But I mean, what stood out for me this year in watching him quite a bit is just he continues to get to improve his skating. Now his, the highlights have come and gone, but if you were looking at them, you'll notice how quick his first two steps are. And that's so important in your own zone when you're trying to get to loose pucks, being able to, you know, get there quickly, right? With the first quick couple of steps. When you add in that he's 6'2", has good long reach, he gets to a lot of loose pucks first. And that's so important, especially when you're running around in your own zone a bit and the puck gets, you know, it gets over to the boards. If you can get to the puck first, get it out, you know, relieve the pressure. It's so important from a defensive standpoint. And Engström's got that. There was a bit of a knock in his draft year that he still got to improve his skating. Well, he's done that.
Yeah.
in spades over the last 2 years, and skating is not an issue. In fact, I think it's a, it's a strength of his now as well. So we saw it, right, Shane? We saw him at the
he stood out
development camp. Just he looked like a pro. You know, he could step right into the AHL no problem out of camp last year, and I, you know, they're probably playing qualifiers right now, so they might win that, but it's a best of three, so it'll be over quickly. Then they'll move up and play like the top seed or the second seed, depending, in the next round. Well, they won't be favored there, and odds are that he's going to probably be done in or about the end of March with his season. That's still, 10 games left in the AHL season, something like that. They could use him. They could use him in Laval. Bring him up, and him and Reinbacher. Nice when you can add a top four pairing, to your lineup. Mr. Norlander, I'm afraid his AHL days, Montreal days will be coming to an end. Maybe Gallopo, like these guys are an upgrade on those guys. They're not bad AHL defensemen, but these kids are, they're going to be NHLers. And right now he's a good SHL defenseman, which will make you a good AHL defenseman. There'll be maybe a little growing pains, get used to the size of the rink and all that. But we saw at the development camp, he adjusted pretty quickly to the smaller rink. So I think he plays regularly with Laval quickly if and when he comes over. And I think he'll definitely be coming over once the season ends, and that's likely before the end of March.
Wow. I mean, again, like I mentioned, it's a problem for Kent, but it's a good problem to have. You can never have too many good defensemen. So I think the fact that Engstrom is a left shot could hurt his odds. But again, it's all about the competition at the training camp, just proving yourself. And at that point, you really have the best defenseman. And then the rest, well, you can put him in Laval or you can trade him, right? Every team needs good defensemen, so they become valuable trade assets. It's, like I said, just a good problem to have. And hey, if Engstrom actually makes the team and can be a part of the Habs for a long time, that'd be fantastic, right? He was, when was he drafted? Like fourth round, right?
Yeah.
So that's really good value. Again, it's a great value pick. Can't complain about that. So Adam Engstrom, our Habs prospect of the week. And that'll do it for us this week. Oh, you got something.
He went in the 80s, so third round. Yeah, I believe it was the 80s. So he was a later third round pick, or 92 or 82 or 92, something like that. So, yeah, cool. Great value, great pick. And, yeah, I mean, when I say he's in NHL, he'll play in the NHL, it definitely may not be with the Canadiens, long term, because there's just so much left defense depth there. But I think this kid could play on the right side too. He has played on the right side at the SHL level already and didn't look out of place. Gooley's looked decent on the right when he's played. Harris, all these guys, at least one of them is going to end up on the right for now, I think. And that's fine. But yeah, he's got NHL written all over him. It might be a year or two, but he'll be a welcome addition to Laval when he comes.
Yeah, he's got that profile. I mean, listen, Kent has treated us to some pretty nice third round picks there with Jacob Fowler. people complaining about the Jake Allen trade, just think about what the Habs have gotten in the third round, and I think you'll be pretty pleased.
I guess he was a Bergevin Timmins pick, I guess, say their last draft.
If he's Engstrom. 20, my math is off.
Yeah,
he wasn't a 2021 guy. No,
yeah, he was.
So okay,
but 2022 was so that's his first draft.
Exactly
right.
Yeah. So and he's then, Dungevin guy. But
yeah.
Hey, again, third round pick. So
yeah,
it's good value there. Good value. You know, there.
I mean, like at the end of the day, look at the way Primo played the other night.
Seventh.
You know.
Yeah.
Joshua Huat, fifth. You know, Jordan Harris has been good.
Mayhew's been a seventh as well. Like, yeah. Jake Evans a seventh. Leave
Bergevin and Timmins, you know, like you can talk about their faults or this or that, but they didn't leave. They definitely didn't leave the cupboard empty, you know. Caulfield, I mean, I can go on and on. There's
they
as we are finding out now, and I kept stressing for years that Canadians have drafted well lately. You just don't know yet because they're not, you know, they're not in the NHL yet, but they will be. And you'll see just how well they did draft the last few years that they were with the Canadians. And we're starting to see, you know, they're starting to bear the fruits of that. So, I mean, they keep signing all these guys and they keep making the team and they keep making impressions. So Kent by no means didn't inherit an empty cupboard. That's for sure.
Not at all. Not at all. But he's been filling it out pretty well as well. So great job there. And he's going to keep doing a great job, especially if he listens to this show, right? If he listens to this show, he's going to keep doing a good job.
There you go.
He's going to get some good prospects out of us. So that's about it for us this week. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you tuning in. And you can head over to recruits.ca to find more articles like the one Grant wrote about Yegor Surin. You can find as well scout testimonials. You know, Grant interviews scouts all the time, and player profiles, the whole shebang, everything you need to know about the draft, anything you need to know about the Habs, it's all there for the
$2 a month
price.
Their draft coverage, $2 a month. So
it's a fantastic investment if you ask me. So head on over there and don't forget to click subscribe, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about Berkeley Catton. If you think he'd be a top 10 pick, if you want your team to select him, let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Until then, we'll see you next week. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.